Hey, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. Welcome to StadiaCast. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much. Just nursing my tired set of vocal cords after our almost solo karaoke party, because you can't have parties in COVID times.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? I did see the tweets from Kara, and it looked like a lot of fun. And I kind of wish that that we had a karaoke machine. Although my wife doesn't like to sing, and my son absolutely would not want to sing. He does not care about music at all. Like, he's just not, he's uninterested. It's weird. Like, video games have kind of supplanted music for, I think, the younger generation.
For some of them, yeah.
Yeah, like, so many of them are just like, yeah, you know, sure, I guess songs are okay. But really, I want to be playing my games with my friends, because they can talk while they're doing that.
And that makes sense.
Go ahead.
I said that makes sense. It's kind of true, too, because I know when we first started doing karaoke, my son would sing songs from, like, Fallout and stuff. So, like, all this old kind of, nice, like, 1920s, 30s kind of pop stuff, and it was pretty awesome. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you play video games all day, you know the video game songs more than the stuff that's on the radio that you don't listen to.
Yeah,
so that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so Fortnite, you know, that does bring the music to the kids, because they have those weird concerts. There's been quite a few times, especially last year, where my son would say, can I stay up a little later to watch this Fortnite concert? And I'm like,
sure,
you kids and your weird stuff, I guess so. But
the world has changed.
It has. Listen, everybody, if you are here with us live and you want to support the show, there is buttons down below to help you do that. You can super chat, and we'll respond to each and every super chat to make sure that we see your message at the second half of the show. If you're not here with us live and you want to be with us live next time, we do record this show live on our YouTube channel over at nerdnest.tv. And that's Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern. And if you're not here with us live, there's an applaud button that you can use in order to support us. And speaking of supporting us, Lloyd and I have to say a massive, massive thank you to everybody we hit 10,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel nerdnest.tv, and you guys are amazing for getting us there, so thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it was insane. Like, I woke up early, when was it, Thursday or whenever this happened? I think it was Thursday, or was it Friday?
I think it was Thursday.
Thursday. It was one of those days. I think it was Thursday. That's right. And I had just logged in to check a comment, actually. And when you log in, it tells you what your current subscriber number is. And I'm like, oh my God, we're like five away from 10,000. This is insane. Because I can remember when we hit 1,000, and it's like, oh my God, this is crazy. I can't believe this many people want to hear us talk about Stadia and other cloud stuff. And then we had the slow, or it wasn't very slow, actually, rise to 10,000. So to everybody that's been coming out and watching us, liking our content, not liking our content, whatever, interacting with us in any way.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing year and a bit. And I can't wait to see what the next year and a bit and beyond brings us.
Year and a bit right there. So one of the cool things on YouTube that comes along with hitting 10,000 subscribers is that you can now put, like, merch on your YouTube channel. So we got that was turned on today. So right now I think the store is just empty. Like, I tried making something, and I think it takes time to populate. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. And I think that I'm going to work on something that's going to be like a, well, we'll talk more about that when we actually figure out how it works, because it just showed up this morning, and so I was getting ready for the show and stuff. I didn't really have time to mess with it, but you're going to be able to have some cool Nerd Nest merch. And speaking of merch, I just want to say a huge thank you to Grace and Chris and everyone from the Stadia team. They sent Lloyd's, I know that Lloyd's stuff is on the way, but he lives in Canada, so customs probably has slowed everything down. But they sent me this awesome shirt And it's got like the Stadia logo down on the hip. They got like this this cool water bottle, which I love water bottles like that because they keep your water cold. A bunch of stickers and a backpack, which will probably show up in the shot behind me in a little bit. And like a lanyard and stuff like that. It's awesome. So I just wanted to say thank you to Grace and Chris and everybody over at you know, at Stadia for, you know, sending some cool stuff our way. We really do appreciate it. And you know, when Lloyd's stuff gets here, he'll wear the shirt and be able to thank people.
definitely.
All right,
I'll say my thanks for them.
So we got stuff to talk about. We absolutely have stuff to talk about. There is some pretty big news today. Usually we start off the show with what have you been playing. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to do that at the beginning. We'll talk about that if there's time, because I feel like this is going to be a pretty deep discussion about what is next for Google Stadia. Earlier this week, Stadia made a big announcement. I think it was on Monday.
Yep.
They made this big announcement, and they said, we are no longer going to be making our own first-party games. And the internet, of course, lost their mind. People got super mad. My initial reaction was, if you want to know my initial reaction when I didn't have any time to think about it, there was a live stream because I read it and I went live and we had a discussion for a couple hours. So you can go and watch that. Lloyd, what was your initial reaction when you first heard this? Without any real time to think about it.
Yeah, when I saw a bunch of people talking about it, I was like, oh, okay, what? Like, April Fool's has come really early, and I fully expected it to be Google Stadia blog.blogspot.co. this is a joke domain.com or something. But it was actually an official thing on their more corporate business to business blog. And I'm like, oh my God, this is bad news. I actually think my first thought when I read the news was, oh crap, because it's like, oh my God, this is not at all what we expected.
Right. And but now you've had more time to really consider it. Well, actually, let me get to the actual announcement, the thing that they actually said. So I'm not going to go through everything that they said, but they said, here, creating the best in-class games from the ground up takes many years and significant investment, and the cost is going up exponentially. Given our focus on building on the proven technology of Stadia, as well as deepening our business partnerships, we decided that we will not be investing further in bringing exclusive content from our internal development team, SG&E, beyond any near-term planned games. With the increased focus on the using of our technology for industry partners, Jade Raymond has decided to leave Google to pursue other opportunities. Blah, blah, blah. She, you know, we appreciate her, and I'm sure that that's all true.
Yep.
So basically they're saying, we're not making any first-party exclusive games. And of course, everybody says, you know, oh, exclusives. You can't have a console without exclusives. What's mm-hmm. your reaction to that? The idea that you can't have a console without exclusives.
You can't have a console without exclusives that you go to the store and pay $500 for and then stick under your TV, because you as a platform holder like Sony and Microsoft, you have to encourage people to buy your box, and you have to show them that, hey, if you buy this box as opposed to that box, you're going to get this game. And if you want to play this game, the only place to play it is on our box that is shaped different than the other box. when you're dealing with a cloud console, exclusives make less and less difference to, or at least to me, because if I want to play a game that is, say, an Amazon exclusive over on Luna, I just subscribe to Luna for a month and get it as part of my sub, and I play the game, and then I cancel my sub, and then I go back to doing whatever I'm doing. If you're not encouraging people to buy a $500 box, you don't really have to have that carrot there for them other than amazing, amazing games. I think what Google's focus will be now, of course, we don't know. This could change tomorrow, or they could be, okay, we have 2 years to get out of this mess. So let's do this now and see what happens. Like, we don't know what is happening inside of Google. But to me, it makes more sense after what happened with Cyberpunk 2077, where Stadia was the only platform you could play that game on day one, because everywhere else was waiting for downloads or patches, or it just looked like a potato running on those other older platforms. I mean, that has to speak volumes to Google, and it's just like, oh crap, we got 100,000 more customers now because of one game. What if we didn't make our own games, spend $25 million a year on running these studios? And of course, let me put this out of the way right up front. I hate that people lost their job.
Yes.
I hate that that is a part of the games industry. It happens far too often, and there's not enough protection for people that are in the games industry. Mm-hmm. There needs to be like an industry-wide union to prevent a lot of these things from happening, but that's a conversation for another day. But it's like, okay, if we're throwing $25 million a year, I use round numbers, so it could be more, it could be less, but it's expensive to run a company, pay executives, have office space, there's health insurance and all that other stuff that comes in. So let's just use a nice round number of $25 million a year, because it's easy to add multiples. So you think that a game from a triple A game from a studio takes 3 to 5 years. So if you take that and you spread that money out, say it's $100 million, because the first year you only had a couple people that were working there kind of coming up with ideas, $100 million can buy a lot of porting. It can, yeah. That allows you to go to Activision and say, hey, we want to give you $10 million to bring Call of Duty to Stadia. We will give you, we will plant an engineer in your office, or we will recommend porting houses to bring that game there. They could do that so many times over the next 5 years before the first big game from SG&E would even come out. So you know they have the scales in front of them, and they have these little sized weights, and it's like, okay, an exclusive game is a big weight, but then you have to take some of that weight away because of the wait to get to when that game comes out. And it just made, to me, it would make more sense for a platform to buy the big games, not to buy them, but to encourage companies to bring them over to your platform, because Cyberpunk sold consoles. I'm sure Madden had some people say, oh crap, Madden's there now for $20. I'm going to jump on that. There has to be a financial reason for this. And it's not because Google was running out of money, because Google, they can't run out of money. They're like super rich as a corporation. So it's more looking at, okay, 5 years investment, $100 million investment over 5 years. What would be a better way to spend the final 2/3 of that money that we haven't already spent? Okay, doing more Cyberpunk things. To me, that was the decision that was made. Of course, we don't know. It could just be we don't like games. We're getting out of the games industry, and we had fun for a couple years, and it's over. Very unlikely that that's the thing.
I don't think so.
But yeah, I mean, this makes sense. Exclusives for Stadia, first party exclusives for Stadia, to me, are less important than getting more games that people want to play on the platform. And then eventually, when you have a large platform with a lot of people that are playing it and a lot of developers making games for it, you will naturally get other exclusive games, because you'll have development team, a small 20-person development team that really loves Stadia, and they're like, I have the perfect idea for a game that can only happen on Stadia. We're making it. It's going to be out in a year. Let's get to work, people.
And we can get some help from Google.
100%.
Yeah.
And so to me, that was what happened. Of course, we don't know. And I know I've been talking for a long time without giving you a chance to jump in, Bill. But man, I've had so many conversations about this over the last week. And it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of doom and gloom out there, which I understand. But we can only go with the information that we had. Just because Google closed internal studios doesn't mean Stadia is dead, because Google's graveyard. That doesn't make sense. Otherwise, right before an earnings call, Google's executives would have come out and said, you know what? We tried. This didn't work out the way we wanted. We're leveraging all of our technology and bringing it to other platforms. thank you to all of our gamers, yada, yada, yada. It would be a much different communique than what we got on Monday.
Yeah. So there's a couple things that I want to kind of add on to what you're saying. The idea, first off, the Google graveyard is a paper tiger. It is not an accurate argument. Google tries things. And then when they decide, you know what, let's integrate this into something else, and then we'll kill off the old thing. That's what they always do. It's not like they just kill stuff. Like Google Play, I think it was Play Music, right? They just finished integrating that into YouTube Music. And I know there's a lot of people who loved Google Play Music, and they really don't like YouTube Music. But Google Play Music didn't actually end. It just had all of its stuff brought into what most people would say is a worse interface. The same thing is happening with Hangouts. Hangouts is disappearing and becoming Meets. Google is not stopping video communication. They're taking the features that they figured out how they work in Hangouts and moving them into Meets. Why they do that stuff where they just continually rename things, and they've got Allo and Duo and Meet and Hangouts, and they keep kind of reinventing the wheel, but they keep taking the parts that this worked from here, this worked from here. Let's put those things in this bucket and we'll put that out. So everybody always talking about the Google graveyard. That is a bad faith argument because A, people like it because of alliteration. That's really the most the best reason for using that argument is because of the alliteration. And right. B, they use that argument without really understanding what's going on behind it. Now, another thing that you said that I found interesting is you were talking about, you know, they have this big weight as in W-E-I-G-H-T, not W-A-I-T. They've got this big weight on the scale of first party exclusive, excuse me for the cough, first party exclusive, right? They put that on the scale, and will it help? Yes, undoubtedly it would help. Is it necessary? No. And you can go back, I think it's over a year ago, I put out a video about this, that Google does not have to have exclusives in order to succeed. Mm-hmm.
First party exclusives.
I don't think it has to have any exclusives to succeed. It has to be able to deliver a game to somebody who doesn't want to buy a box. That's really all it has to do. And clearly it works. The problem with exclusives, and you know, they said it right in the thing, is that they take many years to make and they cost a stupid amount of money. Mm-hmm. And they might be terrible. That's the thing. At the end, you spend so much money and time and effort, and you might end up with a real stinker. And then you have no way to recoup your investment on that. However,
you have happened at Amazon.
Right. With what's the, not Crucible, what's the...
what's the name?
It doesn't matter.
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. But yeah, they spent like half a billion dollars on making games, and they've had exactly zero output that is of any consequence. Right. So is it better for a company to keep throwing good money after bad, or is it better to cut bait and pivot? And Google is a very agile company, and they are the first one to pivot when something makes sense for them to do that. Mm-hmm. I cut you off there, Bill. I'll let you finish.
Well, that's okay. You know, the whole idea of taking all of those resources that they were putting into making first party exclusives and saying, you know what, you got a cool idea, let's bring it to Stadia. You've got a cool idea, let's bring it to Stadia. I think that that is a better solution. And if you look at all of the arguments, if you look at all of the arguments out there for the past year about why Google Stadia isn't awesome. All right. Well, first off, those people are wrong. But none of them say, oh, well, I'm not going to play Stadia because Google hasn't put out any first-party exclusives on it. No, they say, I'm not going to play Stadia because it doesn't have Fortnite. I'm not going to play on Stadia because it doesn't have Madden. I'm not going to play on Stadia because it doesn't have game X, Y, or Z. And are any of those games that people have been asking for first-party exclusives from SG&E? Absolutely not. And in the last year, exactly how many first-party exclusives from SG&E have we got? Zero. And I know that we have some that have, like, the logo, but those are money hat ones. Those are ones where they, like, somebody else did the development, and they said, here's some money, we're gonna be the publisher on that. They didn't actually develop it. So has anything changed since Monday? No, except for the unfortunate result that people lost their jobs, which ticks me off, you know? But except for that, nothing has changed. All right, I'm done. You can jump in now.
Yeah, we're talking in the chat room. So the game that came out for 5 months and then was canceled was Crucible, sorry. But then there was the big one was New World, which was the big MMO, which it that was canceled as well, right?
I don't think it was canceled, it just kept getting delayed.
Yeah. So who knows what's happening there, to be quite honest. So yeah, some people in the chat room are kind of, I don't know if they're confused or if I'm just seeing the wrong messages, but we've been talking a lot about first party, second party, third party. Maybe we should throw out kind of what those mean. So first party is wholly owned by the company. So if SG&E makes a game, that is a first party game. Second party is contracting a company to make a game specifically for you. So SG&E published games. Those
Orcs
are second
Must
party
Die
games.
3.
Orcs Must Die 3, second party games. Third party is a completely separate organization to yours making a game for your platform. That's just kind of a simple, people are going to call me out that
Cyberpunk.
That's not quite right. Cyberpunk, exactly. Yeah. People are going to say I'm not quite right. Okay, I agree. But just for easy things, first party made in-house, second party contracted in-house for your platform, third party is completely external. So we're saying exclusives don't matter. That is the internal exclusive. So SG&E making a game just for Stadia. It doesn't mean that we can't have second party. So Google gives a smaller indie team of, say, 10 people, here's $1 million, make us a game. That is still fine.
And then they have that with the creators. Is it called Creators Program?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but those generally aren't exclusives. Most of the creator games that are coming out are multi-platform, but Google's funding some of that development. So yeah, we can still get exclusives, but they just, for right now, they will not come directly from Google. They'll be either an external company that's been contracted by Google, or they'll be completely someone else just deciding, hey, I want to release a game. I only want to release it on Stadia.
Right. And, you know, you made the argument earlier about how exclusives help sell a box. When you don't have a box to sell, then the whole value proposition of getting an exclusive on your platform completely changes, because now you just have to get somebody to try the game. And if you can get, like, if Google can continue to do the things where they are like, stop locking it behind Pro, all right, but say this game is free for the weekend. That is huge for Stadia and for the game. If it's a really good game, it's going to sell, and it will help draw people towards the Surface service, not Surface. But I have to say that while there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, it was completely predictable that all of the doom and gloom would be there. And I think that you look at what happened on Monday, and then you follow it up with what happened on Tuesday, and people were like, they thought it was the end of the world, because on Tuesday, when they posted their This Week in Stadia thing, they didn't talk about it at all. Why didn't they talk about it at all? Because, and this is just my opinion, I don't know, okay? But my opinion is twofold. First off, that message that they had posted for This Week in Stadia was probably approved like 3 months ago to go out. More importantly, why talk about it? Just nothing has really changed for Stadia. It's just not getting first-party games. And so This Week in Stadia is going to continue to be, everything's just going to keep on keeping on. And I think that that's really the best way to go, which is why they continued to do This Week in Stadia, where they didn't talk about, oh my God, we've got all of these things and here's the roadmap and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't make sense to do that. Just keep doing what you're doing, because what they're doing is working very well. Go ahead, Lloyd.
One thing that's popped up a couple times in chat is the language in that blog post that is your customers. They said your customers will help you bring use Stadia Tech to bring games to your customers. The blog post was on a more corporate blog, which is more, it's more Google to external partners. It's not, that blog post isn't to us, the end user. So when people say, oh yeah, we're going to help you use Stadia Tech to bring games to your customers, well, that's because Google's talking to an external company. They're not talking to the gamers saying, hey, we still love you, but hey, everybody else, if you want to bring great streaming tech to your customers, we're here to help. That's been, a lot of people have been talking about Stadia just turning into a white label, which is, that's like a software package that you sell to people to then, they can deploy it in their organization and it looks like their own tech. There is a possibility that that's what Stadia becomes, but I think it's too early to say that's what Stadia is devolving into, because we don't know. We really, really don't know. When they're talking more about help help you use Stadia Tech to bring games to your customers, I'm thinking that's more along the lines of what Ubisoft did. Mm-hmm. So Google and Ubisoft had a partnership and they're like, hey, what if you have Ubisoft Plus, what if someone could subscribe on your website and they can play all your games on our service? And Ubisoft said, hey, that's a great idea. And I'm sure there's some money sliding back and forth or whatever. I'm thinking that's more what they were talking about in this blog post. Could be wrong, of course, but to me, that seems more likely. They want EA to come on board and sell EA Plus, where EA will sell $5 a month on EA's website to stream your games on Stadia. Because they've already had the EA access on other platforms. So that makes sense. And if they have a number of people that sign up on EA's website, then it would encourage EA to bring more EA games to Stadia, because they have to be on Stadia for them to be part of that package. So to me, I think this is a proper way to both leverage the partnerships that you have with different content makers out there, but also use that as the thin edge of the wedge to drive in the door to then say, hey, you're already selling three games on Stadia as part of your $5 a month package, and it's going really well. If you brought, Knights of the Old Republic, if you brought NHL 94, you could sell that much more. And it's to encourage those companies to bring more back catalog content to Stadia. And then not only can Stadia get, say, let's use small numbers. So say they get 10% of the subscription revenue, but they get 30% when the game is sold directly. That benefits Stadia because they're getting less money through the subscribers, but then there's more games on the platform that can be sold. So to me, that makes the most sense. Again, we don't know, but this didn't panic me as much as it seems to be panicking a lot of other people in the community right now.
Well, okay. So, you know, responding to the panic part first, people are panicking because they feel like we just got over the hump. Like there's people out there who feel like it's my duty to defend. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, you know, person A. And they're like, it's my duty to defend my platform. Don't try and convince people that your platform or the platform that you like, it's not a friggin' holy war, people. Just like the stuff that you like and ignore everybody else. And they feel like we'd finally got over that hump with all of these nice articles coming out about how Cyberpunk was running great on Stadia and, you know, Stadia is finally what it was supposed to be, which I think all of those articles, well, the articles that are like, you know, a year later, Stadia is finally great. Horse hockey. It's been great the whole time. It's been fantastic. It just didn't have a lot of games. That's really the only change. There was a few features that finally got released, but honestly, it's been a fantastic platform from day one. It's been very impressive, I think. So the panic comes from, you know, people started finally seeing that stuff and they're like, ah, I feel vindicated in my loyalty to some corporate conglomerate, right? That's where they feel. And then that corporate conglomerate puts out some news, which I will say is bad news. And I'll get to why that's bad news in a little bit. You know, then they drop this bad news. And of course, all of the good stuff seems to melt away because now all of those YouTubers and articles are going to be written about, you know, Grim Reaper and tombstones and Stadia's dead and blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff is going to be coming back. And now they feel like, oh, I have to defend them again. When in reality, just play the games that you want to play and stop trying to defend everybody. That's where the panic is coming from, I think. To go back to what you were saying before about your customers, where they kept saying your customers, This is not new. This is something from the very beginning when they announced it. They said the store is a link. The game is a link. It can be a link on your website. They said that from the very beginning. You can click on a link. Like, I'm going to pretend that I'm talking to Square Enix. Square Enix can put a link on their website. I click that. I start playing the game. That is exactly what Stadia is and always has been. The store is a link. You go back to before it even came out. I believe it was E3. Jeff Keighley, I believe, asked Phil Harrison about subscriptions, and he said, "Oh yeah, we feel like other people, other subscriptions can be on Stadia." And then later on that day, Ubisoft said, "And yeah, we're going to have Ubisoft Plus on Stadia." And then, of course, it eventually happened. Finally, so none of that has changed. It's all exactly the same as it always has been.
Yeah, exactly. People keep talking about in the chat room. I'm just trying to cover comments that maybe we didn't already plan on talking about.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are asking about we need a roadmap from Stadia. I don't know what Google would put on that roadmap because it's like we're going to keep making the games better. We're going to keep making our tech better. We're going to keep trying to bring latency down. We're going to make sure that all of our servers are running at an amazing clip. Because the roadmap is never going to contain games from other publishers, because Google can't breach contracts by announcing games that the publisher doesn't want announced yet. So I don't really know what that roadmap would cover other than, I don't know, stuff that we already know is coming. Stadia is going to get better. There's going to be more Blades. It's coming to more places. Maybe more information on a more international rollout to other countries would be great. That would be some good information, but I don't really know what else you'd want on a roadmap, because there's certain things that they just can't. And we know that we know other games are coming. We know there's 400 games coming over the next 2 years, but we don't know which games. We don't know which companies are bringing them.
Yeah, I mean, and so PowerFansTastic in chat says, not games, just tell us what they expect to do with the resources that are freed from SG&E. They told you they're going to use those resources to turn around and, in my words, money hat people to get them to bring their games to Stadia. They're going to work with third-party publishers and developers to bring their games to Stadia, and they can't put that on a roadmap. Now, if you were to say, you know, gun to my head and say, Bill, what do you want on a roadmap? I don't care about the games. I mean, obviously, I care about the games. I want the games to come to the platform. But for me, what I want on the roadmap, what features are you going to bring? What are the cool things that you're working on? However, announcing that stuff ahead of time didn't work out so good for Stadia before, because then it was just nonstop. When is this coming? When is this coming? When is this coming? And John Justice, when he was interviewed by Escapist, he said, no, we've learned our lesson. We're not telling people about stuff ahead of time anymore because it just it doesn't pan out for us.
Right.
And then as far as getting, like, people wanting a timeline, COVID, the timeline has been thrown into disarray in every industry on the planet because of the pandemic. So committing to timelines and roadmaps, again, doesn't make sense. And just because they're not telling you that they are hard at work at something doesn't mean that they're not hard at work on something. That's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Like COVID is another huge thing. Like there's a lot of talk about some of the creator program being defunded and this and that and the other thing. People are just going off of a quote in a random blog article. And the same people or different people are using that same article. We don't really know any specifics of that. It would be nice to get a little bit more clarity there. But that could be as simple as the development team that was working on a game had to come up with a snapshot to basically show Google that, hey, your money's being well invested here. And then COVID got in the way, and that impacted everybody. All the development studios that had in-office people that worked together collaboratively all of a sudden now have to stay at home and across different parts of the world and work that way. So you got to think that COVID got in the way and slowed things. And then Google saw the big burst of speed to getting to their critical user base and said, hey, maybe this is the way to go for the foreseeable future. Back to exclusives for a little bit. People are saying that a platform is dead without exclusives. And I don't necessarily agree. Again, going back to my whole, if you have to sell a box, you need something to convince people to buy that box. You got to remember, Netflix went from renting out DVDs through the mail to going to streaming, and everyone's like, this is dumb. Why would I pay for that? And now everybody has a Netflix account. But Netflix didn't have their first exclusive TV show until 6 years after they started streaming. And that was House of Cards. And House of Cards was a bona fide hit and a critical hit. You can't tell me that if House of Cards failed, Netflix wouldn't have said, hey, okay, we have all these other projects. Let's scrap them for now. And let's try again in a couple years after we get a more diverse user base that would want the type of stuff we're making. So big companies, they try things, they throw out the little trial balloons of a product, and if it doesn't work, they go back to the drawing board. The thing that makes cloud consoles in air quotes better is that you didn't sell someone a box that they're going to have for the next 5 years regardless. This allows Google to do something, see that it isn't working clearly, get some data from somewhere else that, hey, this other thing worked, and then they can pivot in that direction. You can be a much more agile company when you're not dealing with physical boxes and stuff that mm-hmm. you have to worry about. So I back to the whole exclusives thing, first party exclusives. Right now, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I hope that in the future, they're going to start this up again when Stadia is a success. But as for right now, it's not a huge deal. People are also worried that a lot of the R&D that was going on at Stadia was tied in with Stadia Games and Entertainment. And that's the R&D for machine learning and AI and using like one cloud box to run all the AI for an MMO and all that stuff. That little organization, that little subgroup of Stadia, apparently was part of SG&E, so that was all canceled. It doesn't mean that work still isn't going to go on, and that these people, the engineers that were working on that, or some of the big thinkers that were working on those ideas, either haven't shifted to other jobs at Stadia, or that there isn't other people to fill those roles. So people are worried that Stadia is what it is today, and it's never going to get better. Clearly not right. That the people that work on the infrastructure and the streaming tech and a millisecond ping for your controller, those are different people. So that development is still going to happen. And then all the other tech that was happening in R&D, the really cool AI stuff, that could still happen, or it can spin up again when maybe the tech or the computing infrastructure that we will have in say 2 years will be better than what we have now. So maybe they just needed more horsepower to throw at that problem.
Yeah, I get that. Now I did want to kind of circle back to something that I mentioned before, and that's that why is this still like really bad? Okay. So like I'm pretty positive on that this isn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But it does, like, I am kind of a gut punch for part of this, and that is the cloud native stuff that they were talking about. it's less, I won't say that it's less likely to happen. I think it eventually a cloud native, like we will see a game that is cloud native and can't be played on other platforms because they don't have what Stadia has. This is not just about graphics. This is about the way that the game exists. You know what I mean? And that's much more easy to convince somebody to make when you are working for the company that has, that owns the cloud thing. You know what I mean? Right. It's much harder to convince people to make a third party game that is cloud native, because that means that they can't turn around and sell that game on other platforms.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's less likely to happen. I think that it's just going to take longer. There is going to be somebody who comes up with an idea and they're like, oh my God, I have got an idea for a game that can only be played on Stadia because it is a cloud native thing, or Amazon Luna, because that's a cloud native thing. Well, possibly. But I have this idea that can only happen on Stadia. And then they go to Stadia and Stadia's like, yeah, bring it to us. We'll put that on our system. We'll sell that game for you. We'll turn a link into a store for you. That's no problem. I do think that will happen, but it was much more likely to happen sooner if Google was working on it. And that's the part that really bugs me the most, is that we're going to have to wait longer to see that cloud native thing that I spent the last year saying, this was the thing that I was most excited about for Stadia. That was it. That's the most exciting thing for Stadia for me, was that cloud native stuff. And now I still think we'll see it, but it's going to be further down the road. But in the meantime, I will be happy to continue to play games in a browser or on my Chromecast, especially because I started playing Final Fantasy 14 again, and man, that game does not run well on my computer. I really want it to come to Stadia, though I don't think that's going to happen. But I really wanted that to come to Stadia, and it just doesn't run well on my computer. And I got a pretty beefy PC. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
back to kind of, you're talking kind of the bad things about this move. To me, the biggest gut punch is every article that was starting to come out since January was all positive. It's like Stadia is the best place to play Cyberpunk. Stadia is not bad after all. Hey, maybe Stadia was a great idea after all. Like all these articles from places that were positive, but also places that have been critical in the past of Stadia, those are all gone. so they came out with the initial announcement of Stadia. There was some positivity, and then the fact that it wasn't going to be the Netflix of gaming came out, and it was just going to be a store where you buy games, and it was negative for the better part of a year. It was just complete negative in the industry. And then Cyberpunk happened, and it's like, oh, Stadia is a good thing. Stadia is all of a sudden really awesome. And then in January, it was all positive articles. Now all the negativity is back. So I know to everybody that's in marketing and PR for Google, this sucks for you. And I'm very sorry that you're going through this again, but hopefully this will be a short term thing, and that Google will come out with another statement to say, you guys are worried that we're going away. We're not. And to show you why we're not going away, we are bringing this, and they come out with a big game that we never thought would come to Stadia, like the Fortnite or the Call of Duty or Apex or some other big game that is beloved by gamers everywhere, to show that, we're not going anywhere. There's also been some questions like, we feel bad, but how do the publishers and developers that are working on games for Stadia feel right now? But you got to understand that if you are EA, you know more about Stadia than the users of Stadia know. You know Google's plans, you know what Google's rolling out, you know that there's higher powered blades coming out, or there's this new rendering pipeline, or there's this new way that you can offload some of your data or some of your heavy GPU calculations to another thing. You know that. You know what the future of Stadia is more than us, because you've come into a business relationship with Stadia. Doesn't mean that every Stadia dev knows, but the big ones and the higher ups at the big ones would know a lot more about Stadia's roadmap than we do. So I don't think the developers are really panicking right now, other than they're worried, like us, that maybe in 2 years this experiment won't pay off and it'll go away for a little bit and then come back at a later point. But I wouldn't worry about the big publishers.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about. I don't think I have zero. I have zero thoughts. No. I'm 100% certain that Google is not shutting down Stadia. Hey, I'm just a nerd in his attic, so who knows? But I just don't see it. The potential for profit is way, way, way too high. It's way too high. What I would like to see is for them to take the Stadia Pro and just turn it in, like leave it the way it is, but take all of the 4K stuff and make that available to everybody. I think that would do it would do so much for the platform. Making it so that 4K is locked behind Stadia Pro makes people feel like they have to subscribe. So anyway, is there anything else you want to say before we get to the super chats? Because we do have a bunch that have come in and we should reply
through,
to.
Looking through all my notes. Oh yeah, one other thing. people are really worried right now because we're not getting a lot of communication. And we know in the past, Google as a company has been poor at communication from back when it was like one server running under a desk in some guy's office before it became what Google is known now. But what we've known for a number of years is that Google has a large presence at GDC, whether it was the initial GDC where they showed off the tech, whether it was last GDC where a lot of stuff was done virtual. We know that Google has always been well represented at GDC. So what happens at this year's GDC will open a lot of eyes for what's happening with Google. If they still have the, hey, bring your games to us, let me show you what Google Stadia can do to you or do for you and your game. If they still have those types of things, it's business as usual. If there's any sort of change to that, that to me will trigger a bunch of questions in my brain. So even if we don't get a lot of communication between now and then, GDC will tell us a lot of what's happening with Google Stadia as a platform.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I also can see them allowing people to bring their games to platforms like the Nintendo Switch through streaming. We already know that the Switch has some streaming stuff on there. I don't know if they'll do this because I know that Google kind of likes to have like their store be the thing. You know, you load up, right. you turn on Stadia and then bam. But you know, bring it to the Switch, bring it to iOS by saying, all right, Capcom's going to release Resident Evil 8 on iOS, and it's right. a streaming game. And you go into the App Store and you buy the game. And I know that there's going to be people who are like, well, I don't like that. And my response to that is, why don't you like that? Like, you're still able to play the game. What's the difference? And I'm not sure. Anyway, we got a bunch of people who sent in super chats and memberships. I'm not going to do the memberships right now because there's too many of them. We'll hit those at the end.
For sure.
At the end. Ruben DeGeeling, he sent this one in before we even started the show. He sent in support for the Cat Track Fund, the Beard Club Fund, and now also for the Save Google Stadia Fund. Just kidding. This money is only for you guys. Well, thank you very much. I will use my portion of it to feed the cat. DeFlem sent in a super chat, just said Team Stadia. Thank you for the support, DeFlem and Ruben. Scott sent in for Lloyd's Majestic Beard and karaoke skills. thank you for that. Ruben sent in for the 10,000 subscribers. Go Nerdnest. Thank you very much. Arcane Atri said, I agree with Lloyd's reasoning so much that I have to support with money. Well, there you go. Thanks, Lloyd. Nice job.
Thanks.
And thank you to Arcane. And then Ray sent in a super chat with no message. It was probably a dancing pair or something that I missed. I'll look later. All right. So Consino sent in a message with his super chat. He said, the issue for me is that the studio was the physical evidence of their commitment to Stadia. They took that away, and the memo seemed more about the future with publishers slash partners and not about us. So my response to that, and you know, I'll let you go after this. My response to that is, if this results in more games on Stadia, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
Your response?
Yeah, I mean, look what happened with Amazon. They spent how much money on a game and canceled it after 5 months because it just wasn't good. Making games is hard. Running a platform is hard as well. I'm not going to belittle anybody's effort on Stadia, but making games is very hard. And a lot of studios have decades of experience, and that's the reason why they can make a game that is as good as a Uncharted or a Gears of War or a Mario, Super Mario Brothers, because they have decades and decades of experience making those games. Like Google could have spent 5 years spending tens of millions of dollars a year making their big first AAA game with Jade Raymond at the start, and it could have just been a terrible game. And that's a worry when you're making games, because games look like trash. Like, they look horrible and they play horrible, and they're the worst thing that you've ever seen up until like 6 months before they launch. And that's when things start looking good and playing good and feeling solid. So maybe it was just the early effort. It wasn't where Google wanted, or maybe there was some fundamental issues that were preventing the teams from working on stuff or doing what was wanted. And to me, spending the money to bring other games, if that's indeed what they're doing, of course, we don't know. This is all speculation. And what I think Google is doing as a company, to me, would be better spent that way, giving it to people to assist them in porting their games over to Stadia. And Consigno, I've already said it, but I'll say it again. The blog post was more Google's corporate blog talking to other corporate partners than talking to the Stadia gamers. So hopefully we'll get more communications in the near future that will help that. Actually, I'll throw it out here. We would love to have someone from Google on the show to talk about this. Yeah. I know there'd be a lot of stuff we couldn't talk about, but if you give us some clear ideas of what we can cover, we'd love to have you guys, whoever, on the show to talk about it, to get the word out to people. Because there is a lot of fear and confusion, and it makes sense as to the why, because we don't know what the future is. I'm a person that doesn't think I don't think the sky is falling until I get hit in the head with a chunk of the sky. And we're not at that place yet.
Eli Levy in chat, they said, I agree with Consigno. Harrison said the following: our partners and their players. They didn't say our players. And well, that's because they are not making the games. The other companies are making the games. So if, like, I am a player of, I'll say, I don't know, Madden. I'm playing Madden. That means I am one of EA's players. That doesn't mean that I'm not also playing on Stadia, but that's how they were phrasing it. And like Lloyd said, they were talking to other publishers on this. This was not on the Stadia blog. This was on the Google blog. The keyword. So just keep that in mind as well. Steve Nelson sent in a super chat. He said, if they spend their first party cash on enticing someone like Epic Games to Stadia, they would get way more bang for their buck. And yeah, that's pretty much what I spent the first half of the show talking about, in that they saw, like, with you look at Cyberpunk bringing in a bunch of players, and they said, if we keep spending money, we may bring in a bunch of players, but if we take that money and use it to entice other games onto the platform, we can probably bring in way more players by doing that. And I think that that's probably the right move. It's not the move that I'm super happy with, because I was perfectly fine being patient and waiting for the first party stuff. But at the end of the day, I think this will help grow Stadia faster. Although in the short term, it's bad PR. And there's no way to really combat that, because there's always going to be a certain amount of Schadenfreude out there from the people who want to hate on Stadia because it gets clicks.
Exactly. This is very much a chicken and egg scenario that they have going on right now with Stadia. You want to get as many players on your platform buying games, but you need the games to do it. But developers don't want to bring the games if there's not enough players, but the players need more games to be able to buy them. And it's kind of like this cyclical problem. So in enticing developers with money hats, with encouraged porting, with more plus type subscription services that the publishers can offer themselves to bring games, that is all a way to get games on the platform to then entice more users to your platform to buy games, which will then entice more games coming to your platform. So it's not an exact science, but to me, this is what it all screams of. Again, we could all be wrong, but we're just going with the information that we have at hand.
Yeah, Freddy Fredo in chat says, Epic Games will never bring their customers to the Google Store. I don't think that's true. Right, like, what's his name? The guy in charge of Epic Games? Tim Sweeney.
Tim Sweeney.
Todd Sweeney? It doesn't matter. Todd? Sweeney. Something Sweeney. T. Sweeney.
Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd.
Tim Sweeney, he specifically said, we don't have a problem with bringing games to Stadia right now. They have too small of a footprint. Why? Because they're not in all of the, they're not in a lot. There's a lot of countries that you cannot play Stadia in. I believe that at some point there's going to be they'll hit a large enough footprint, global footprint. And then Sweeney will say, yeah, all right, let's hit the go button. But also if Google brings them a big fistful of cash and says, hey, we're going to make it less risky for you to bring your games to Google Stadia, yep, because we're going to guarantee that you get X amount of money, even if people don't try it. That will bring in a lot of people, and I think it will bring in people like Sweeney and Epic Games. Dilthev says, what about Typhoon Studios? Has Google sold that as well? Do they continue making games for Stadia or making games to Stadia? Love the show. I don't know. We don't know whose jobs are safe and whose jobs are not safe. It's terrible that anybody is losing their job. It was odd. Like, this came out on the day. This news came out on the day that, what's the name of the game?
Journey to the Savage Planet.
Yeah, Journey to the Savage Planet came out. And the guy who everybody is mad at, I can't remember Alex his name. Hutchinson. And I don't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy, because he says stupid things on the internet.
He did once.
Well, he did. He did multiple times. There were other things that he said in the past.
I just don't want to call him out directly.
Okay.
Yes, I get what you're. I get you.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't like. He says the things that many people disagree with. Is that diplomatic enough?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So he says things that a lot of people don't agree with, and then he posted because the game is Employee of the Month edition, and he says ironic that this news comes out today. So I feel like maybe the people at that studio lost their jobs, which sucks. Like, as much as I disagreed with things that he said, I didn't want him to lose his job. And if you go back to the when all of that consternation happened about the streaming thing, I specifically said I didn't want him to lose his job, even though I disagreed with what he said. I do think that sucks, but I don't know what's going on with Typhoon Studios. Is that game Google, done now? Is it like
Google
finished?
Who knows? Google bought the company, right? So if Google bought the company, they own, you would assume that they would own the IP that the company owned, unless Typhoon Studios didn't own Savage Planet. Maybe it was owned by another party and they just developed the game. I don't think so. Who knows? I hope that the studio itself isn't done. I said in chat room, we don't know 100% of what happened. And just because Google has wound down SG&E for now doesn't mean that they can't wind it back up again in the future. So maybe there's a core chunk of people that are still working on that IP. I don't think so, sadly, but I would love another Journey to the Savage Planet game. I've been loving that game so far. But yeah, we don't really know what's happening to Typhoon, other than Typhoon is owned by Google, and then Google wound down their SG&E development stuff.
Yeah. Zen Hood sent in a super chat. They said, please let the next show be about gaming again. That's not a bad idea. Thank you very much for the support. Blake Stadia sent in a super chat. They said, Stadia is doing something that's never been done before. Cloud gaming is still in its early stages. Allow time for it to grow. P.S. Love you, gents. Thank you very much, Blake. And I do agree. I preach patience. I've been preaching
uncharted
patience.
Waters.
Yes, I've been preaching patience for a long time, and I'm still patient, and I'm willing to be patient, mostly because they keep bringing games to the platform, and I keep having fun with them, and that's really all I care about. I'm not interested in my side winning. Like, that isn't a thing. That's never been a thing that we've been interested in. Go ahead, Lloyd.
That's the fun. Like, the bad news happens, we post about it, and then the same people who follow me just to needle on things like this, saying, see, Stadia is dumb, hopefully hopefully the money that they're giving you every week to make a show is still hopefully their checks aren't bouncing and stuff like that. And it just drives me crazy. If anybody knows me, if they've listened to me podcast for 15 years, I play everything. I play on every platform. I'm not a fanboy of any one particular platform, but I go where is the most convenient. And for me, Stadia is the most convenient. I'm a parent. I have kids. I have a family. I have a 9-to-5 job. I have work. I have things I have to do for work. I have things that I do after work. And if I want to get a quick game of Journey of the Savage Planet in, I can fire it up on my tablet. I can play for 15 minutes, turn it down. That is not as convenient to do on any other platform. And that's why I love Stadia. And my hope is that we can continue doing that for many, many years in the future.
Yeah, when Hitman came out, my wife was working late and I was downstairs cooking in the kitchen, which doesn't often happen because I'm bad at it. But while I was cooking stuff in the kitchen, I was playing Hitman on my iPad, and it was awesome. I was able to just sit there in the kitchen, play, stir the food, and keep playing. It's fantastic. So like that's the reason that I'm in for Stadia. It is not for some holy war because I despise all the other platforms. I go on every single day and try to buy a PS5 for my son. I'm on the lookout for possibly an Xbox for myself. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that I've started playing Final Fantasy 14 again. They mentioned that the version is going to be like a free upgrade on the PS5, and they showed it off, and I was like, kind of want a PS5 now too. So I've always been platform agnostic. I care about games, not platforms. So Bill, why are you doing a show about a platform? Because I think that it's a cool platform, and I like that I can play these games anywhere, and I like talking about games. So yeah, you know, back to what Zen Hood was saying. We'll be talking about games in the future. All right. We're past an hour already. We still have more super chats to get to. I'm going to finish up recording the podcast, and then we can reply to the rest of the super chats in the YouTube video. Is that cool with you, Lloyd?
Yeah. I people probably wouldn't mind if we go long, but we could respect people's time and just say, if you want to check out the last half of the super chats, you can come to nerdnest.tv. and check out the article for StadiaCast episode, whatever this is. It's not in the title, so I have to go look. I can't remember which one it is.
Sorry, man. I stopped.
97. 97.
Yeah, I stopped doing the numbers in the title because Apple said, don't put numbers in the titles of podcasts. and where I was like, okay, I don't want to make Apple angry because that's where most people listen to podcasts. All right. So thank you guys for listening to the podcast. If you're here with us live, stick around because we got more stuff to talk about. And if you haven't subscribed to us over on our YouTube channel, well, go do it right now. You can be number 10,100 and something. I don't know. But thank you very much for everybody for listening. And we will see you next time.